Well, turn your Bibles here this morning in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 and following. Title my message here this morning, A Nation in the Hands of God, A Nation in the Hands of God, Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. The scripture says, The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Father, your word, thy word is truth, O Lord, and forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And Father, thy word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Father, we thank you for your word we hold here this morning. Father, your word is alive, it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, it divides asunder, Lord, the joints and marrow and the thoughts and intents of the heart. And Father, your word here, may it speak to our hearts, may it sink down deep into our hearts and in our ears, God. Father, we may not just be a hearer of the word, but a doer of it. And Father, your word will judge us one day. So Lord, may we be very attentive to it. And Father, may we have tender hearts here this morning as we gather around us. Feed us with your heavenly manna. And Father, we're your servants and bless your word to our hearts. And Father, I pray that I might be a vessel that honors your Son, Jesus Christ, and honors your word. And I pray that you might receive the glory and honor for everything that's said and done here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, Jeremiah was quite a man. The Lord said to Jeremiah, before you were born, I ordained you to the nations. He had a calling upon his life. Now, for those that know the book of Jeremiah, he preached 40-some years. Did the nation of Israel ever change? Didn't change. But was Jeremiah faithful to what God called him to do? Is there a faithful remnant among God's people? There is a faithful remnant. Although Jeremiah did not see what he wanted to see. And that's why they called him the weeping what? The weeping prophet. He cried over the sins. Do you remember our Lord Jesus when he approached Jerusalem? What did he do? He wept over Jerusalem. You know, we need some men and women that will cry over the sins of a nation. The sins of a nation, they bother you. They cut you to the heart because you see what sin does to a nation and how God says, your sins have separated you from me. That's what sin does. It separates. And for Jeremiah, he was a man of God ordained by God to preach the living word of God to a nation whose hearts had become hard and callous. So in the midst of that, God had another lesson for his people. He said to Jeremiah, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise, go down to the potter's house. There I will cause thee to hear whose words? My words. God wanted Jeremiah to hear it so that he could communicate to the people of God what the message was. Now, we need some men and women here today that God is speaking to. God spoke to Jeremiah, but he's still speaking through his word to us today as God's people. Do you and me have a word for our nation today? Do we have a word? We do. We do have a word. Does God speak? He speaks. And when he speaks with what? Authority. Because he's Almighty God. He created the heavens. He created the earth. He created the seas. Everything there is has been made by Almighty God. He's Almighty God. And he had a word. And he told Jeremiah, I want you to hear my words. Then I went down as obedient servant to God. He went down to the potter's house. And behold, he wrought a work upon the wheels. Now, I want to give just a little understanding here of potter. Now, in those days, there was a wheel on the bottom, a shaft that came up, another wheel on top. The potter would take his foot, kick it against the bottom wheel. The shaft would turn and make the top wheel turn. Excuse me. And he could shape the clay as it turned. He turned it, he shaped it. The events of Almighty God, the providence of God is like the lower wheel spinning. You're focused on top, but God is underneath spinning that wheel in the providence of God, making the events, affairs of men happen. And as the wheel is spinning here, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. Well, what happens? Well, clay sometimes has little stones in there. Now, when they're making the clay and shaping it. It's spinning around. If you hit a stone and it's spinning, it can, like if you're shaping a vase up, it can cut that vase right in half. Because that stone catches, it just like, it cuts it, just like a cutting wheel, and you have to start all over. Or if you don't find all the stones, when they fire it in the oven, that stone will cause the vessel they made to crack. What you want to do is remove all the impurities, the stones out of the clay. We are the clay. He is what? The potter. Is God removing the stones, the impurities out of our life to make us a holy vessel to Him? That's what the imagery God is saying here. It was marred because there was some imperfection, something in it that defiled, something in it that made this clay not usable. So He made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to who? The potter. God was using this as an illustration. Then He says, that's the image, verse 5, the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as what? The potter. Who owns us? God does. How much does He own of you? Everything. Everything. He owns everything. He's God. Now, what kind of God is He? Give me some attributes of God. Give me a few attributes. God is holy. God is love. God is faithful. God is omnipresent. God is just. God is merciful. God is our protector. God is, what was that? Perfect. Yes, He's perfect, almighty. All these attributes of God. Now, it makes me, He is Creator God. Now, does creation testify there's a Creator? Okay, now you're sitting in this church building this morning. Do you believe somebody built this building? Okay, why do you believe somebody built this building? Because it's here. You can see it. Did you see the guy built this building? Now, Mary may have. No, I'm just kidding, Mary. I'm picking on you. You're my friend. I can do that to you. No, this is an old building. You did not see the people that built this building. But did you know somebody did build this building? Has to be. Somebody had to build it. Does creation testify there's a God? It does. The creation itself testifies there's a God. It befuddles me how people can look at the beauty of creation, the intricacy and how it all works together and say there is no God. Psalm 14:1 says the fool is what? Said in his what? Heart, there is no God. If you want to be foolish, just say there is no God. And you have just put a label on your back saying you're a fool. Because the creation itself testifies there's a Creator. We are His workmanship. We are the works of His hands. Behold, can I not do as this potter? Because He's God. He shapes us. Now, we as individuals are made in the image of God. And yet each of us are individuals unique before God. There's nobody else like you. God did not make a mistake when He made you. He made you just the way He wanted to make you because that was in the plan of God. Can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so you're in my hands, O house of Israel. At what instance I shall speak concerning a what? What does verse 7 say? Concerning what? A nation. Was God's hand on our forefathers to build this nation? It's incredible to think they went up against the most powerful army in the world and defeated them. Amazing. Sunday school, we looked at, wasn't that some amazing stories in Sunday school that we looked at? Wasn't that amazing? This, what David Barton brought out, the history of our nation, how these men were just so, God just worked amazing ways that we could defeat and become a nation. I believe God had a plan for America. There's never been more missionaries sent out of any nation than America. We have so many blessings we enjoy as Americans. But as one person said before, when America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Is that true? Because our blessedness was rooted in our righteousness. You destroy righteousness in our land and you'll destroy America. We'll become just like any other nation. We're done. Our exceptionalism will vanish. It's gone. One of our founding fathers, I wish I could remember his name, but I just said, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said that if we neglect righteous virtues and teachings to our children and our children's children, America will be buried in profound obscurity. And that little phrase, profound obscurity, and I thought, that is so true. Now, what do we find happening in America? Well, in the land of Israel here, they had some hardened hearts. Now, the land of Israel, did they have the Old Testament scriptures? Did they have the Ten Commandments? Did they have the temple? Did they have the priests? Did they have the Levites? Did they have their history? They had all these things, and yet they turned from the true and living God. Now, why does that happen? Jeremiah 17:9, what does that say? The heart is what? Deceitful above all things and what? Desperately wicked. Who can what? Know it. That's the problem with mankind. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? What's wrong with America? Naturalism. That is a teaching that embodies so much. Secular humanism. That is a teaching that embodies so much. What that's saying is there is no God, man is the center of everything, and there is nothing beyond the physical world. And what you see is all there is. Evolution is time plus chance equals everything. Given enough time, given enough chance, equals everything. Out of nothingness became everything. Now, I just have a question. If you believe in evolution, were you there when it all started? Because where did matter and energy come from? It had to come from somewhere. You say the Big Bang, but where did that matter and energy come from? I find it much simpler to believe in an almighty God that is, was, and shall be forever, that can speak the word, and everything's created and has his creation. So we have in America this teaching that has invaded evolution in our schools. In Romans, it talks about the unrighteous want to suppress the knowledge of God. Because if they suppress the knowledge of God, what does that enable them to do to a certain level? It enables them to sin without restraint. Do we see sin without restraint in our society? Do we see that? It is where? Everywhere. Everywhere. Sin without restraint. You know, in the scripture, it talks about they have forgotten how to blush. Some people used to be ashamed of their sin. They get caught, they used to blush. Today, people don't even blush anymore. They're not ashamed of their sin anymore. At one instance, verse 7, I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up, to pull it down and destroy it. Now, did God bring down his chosen people? Did he bring them down? He did. Why did he do that to his chosen people? Because they what? Rebelled against him. In Romans it says, you better not be haughty, but fear. If God spared the natural branches, he may not spare what? You also. You better fear. God didn't spare his children of Israel when they sinned. And do you think God might not spare America because it sins? You better beware. If that nation against whom I pronounce turn from their evil and will repent of the evil that I thought, relent of the evil I thought to do. Now, 2 Chronicles 7:14, is there hope for America in that verse? Is there hope for America in that verse? If my people, which are called by what? My name, shall what? Humble themselves and pray. How's the rest of it go? I have to seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I'll hear from heaven and what? Heal their lands. Is that a promise from God? So is there hope for America? There is. But if people don't repent, is there hope then? There's no hope then. Nationally, there's no hope. Individually, there's always hope. For me as an individual, I can have hope. Almighty God rules and reigns, and all things work together for good. And I know he's got an eternal plan that I know nothing about, that he doesn't have to answer and explain to me, but I know I can trust him, and I know he's going to do good. So individually, I can have hope in God always. But nationally, I don't know which way the ship's going, but it doesn't look good. Would you agree with me? Okay. Now, God puts that out there for his people. At what instance I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, build and plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now, therefore, go to. Now, I want you to stop there in verse 11. Now, therefore, go to. That's Jeremiah's calling. Jeremiah, I want you to go to this people. And when Isaiah was called, and Isaiah asked the Lord, when Isaiah said, Lord, hear my, send me. And he asked the Lord, well, how long do you want me to do this thing? You know, how long do you want me to preach to the nation? And God told Isaiah, you do it till there not be a man left without habitation. You just keep on keeping on. Now, God called Jeremiah to go to. And he was to warn the people. Do sinners need to be warned? They do. They do. How shall they hear without what? A preacher. Can anybody share the word of the Lord with your neighbor here? Can anybody share the word of the Lord with your coworker, with your family? Because, like Ezekiel, he didn't want their blood to be on his hands, be responsible for. All God asks for you to do, you go to. You warn them for me. If you warn them and they don't turn, their blood is on their head. But if you don't warn them, God, he wants us to, as God's people to go to. Now, the Mayfields, they went to Ecuador. Why are they going to Ecuador? Because there's lost people there. They need the gospel. Are there any lost people in America? Can we go to them? Can we share the word of the Lord with them? Can we go to them and share? Now, for Jeremiah, did it go real well for him? Chapter 19, how'd it go for him? Anybody know how it went for him? Didn't go real good, did it? But that's okay, because God one day is going to make everything right. And all God asks us to do as God's people is to go to. You can go to your school board meetings. You can go to any type of event that has people that you can share the word of the Lord and give a Christian testimony for. I remember hearing a man years ago, he had his graduation class, I think it was like their 40th or 50th, I can't remember. He was a Christian man, and all everybody he graduated with, he was a businessman, he just stood up and he said, everybody, I want to tell you, I want to give testimony here how to be saved. I'm a Christian, and he went through the Romans Road with them, all his whole class. And did that take some courage? It did. It took some courage. But you know what? We need some people of courage here. Don't grow old and cold, but grow old and what? Bold. And we need some men and women of courage. Jeremiah had that courage here. Now, therefore, go and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, everyone from his evil way, and make your ways and your doing good. Now, good and evil. Does God give the Ten Commandments? Are they 10 suggestions? They're commandments. Now, God is righteous. God demands righteousness. God provides righteousness. God is righteous. He's holy. If you want to go to heaven one day and you don't want to go to hell, you need to get saved from your sins because you're not as good as God. You can compare yourself to men and you can find people worse than you and better than you, but you compare yourself to God, you're going to come up short. For all have sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. You're going to come up short. You're not going to make it. Now, let's just run through a few of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not lie, bear false witness. Anybody kept that perfect here this morning? I'd like to see you, your hand. Thou shalt not steal. Has anybody kept that one completely? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Anybody perfect? Men, if you look at a woman to lust after her, what does Jesus say? You've already what? Commit adultery in your heart. How about using God's name as a cuss word? You ever done that? If God was just to judge you on the four of the Ten Commandments, that's only four, did you pass or fail? That's only four on Judgment Day. If you were to pass or fail, would you be guilty or not guilty? Guilty. Heaven or hell then? Just on it. If you were guilty, heaven or hell, that'd be hell for you. God is holy. God demands righteousness. God provides what? Righteous. So if a person wants to go to heaven, but they're guilty, what do? Who died on the cross for the sins of the world? Jesus Christ. He was made in the likeness of men, yet without sin. He was our sin bearer, our substitute. God put all of his sins, all of our sins on him, and we receive his righteousness, and we can go to heaven. Everyone, your evil ways. We're all sinners before God. We all need a Savior. That's Jesus Christ. Look at verse 12. And they said, there is no hope. There is no hope. When it comes to God, is that a true statement or a false statement? False. There's always hope with God. God is more than able to forgive and cleanse a sinner. He can take the most unrighteous person. I heard one person say it, from the guttermost to the uttermost, God can save. He can save them all. And where there's God, there's hope. But you know what they were saying? We are so set in our ways. There is no hope. We're not going to change. Men love what? Darkness rather than what? Light. That's why they say that I am so committed to the way I am. I'm not going to change. God can change. See, if you try to change your life and just get reformation, you're not going to go very far. But if you try to change your life and you get transformation, that makes the difference. How do you get transformed? By getting Jesus Christ in your life and the Word of God flowing through your life. You'll be transformed. If you just try to reform, you're going to be up and down, up and down. You want to be transformed through Jesus Christ. There is no hope. If you just cling to yourself, you have no hope. We will walk after our own devices, and everyone will do the imagination of his evil heart. You know, God in verse 13, in Isaiah said, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Let's think about this for a minute. You know, in verse 13, God says to them, now therefore saith the Lord, ask ye now among the heathen, who has heard such a thing? The virgin, the pure one of Israel, has done a horrible thing. That's a reference to immorality and adultery and fornication. This pure Israel has done a horrible thing. They have taken the true and living God, embraced idolatry, and turned from God. They've done a horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon? Pure, crystal clear water? Coming from the rocks of the field or the cold waters that flow from another place, be forsaken. Why would you turn away from the pure water? Why would you do that? Well, let's make some applications here. Does America have an opportunity to repent? They do. Does America have some messengers that can tell people they need to repent? Any messengers here today? Can you be a messenger to tell people to repent? We need some men and women that will pray and proclaim the word of the Lord to a lost and dying nation. And look at verse 15 in closing here. They have caused them to stumble in their ways from what? The ancient paths. Our forefathers gave us some good paths to walk in. We are stumbling as a nation because we've lost those ancient paths. Let's restore the faith of our fathers to the faith of this generation and generations to come, because that will make the difference in the lives of us in America as a nation. Let us pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, as we've looked at Jeremiah chapter 18, and God, is this day that we think of Independence Day, July 4th. Father, we lift up our nation in prayer, God, as a nation that has turned from the true and living God, and we've each gone our own way. And Father, there may be some here this morning that have lost their way, that once walked in the circle of the Christian community, but have just strayed away. And Father, I pray that you'd bring those sheep that have wandered away back home. And I pray for those, Lord, who may never know if they're going to heaven. They've never settled that in their lives. They have no assurance if they die today, they go to heaven. I pray you'd speak to their hearts here this morning. They would deal with their state of being condemned without hope, without Christ, that they would see themselves needing a Savior to save them from their sins. Father, I pray that you'd speak to hearts here this morning in the quietness of this moment. And I make an appeal here with heads bowed and eyes closed. One, I'm going to pray a prayer here in a minute. And if you would like me to pray for you, you don't know God, and you would like to know how to go to heaven, and you'd like me to pray for you, would you just raise your hand here this morning? If you're not sure you die, you go to heaven. You just say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to settle that. Anybody this morning? Okay. The second thing I make appeal here this morning is a patriot, if you love your nation and love your God, that you will do more this week than you did last week to help our nation. Would you raise your hand here this morning? If you're a patriot, I'm going to do more this week than you did last week to help our nation. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the ones that have raised their hands. And Father, I pray that as God's people, we be that light set on a hill. That, Lord, our light wouldn't be put on a basket, but, Lord, that the light be set on a hill that all could see, that we could be the light to the nations, that we can be the salt of the earth, the salt and light our nation needs. So, Lord, I pray for those that don't know you, God. I pray for those that are searching. I pray for those that they might find Christ soon, God, the peace and love of God, forgiveness and cleansing from all their sins. They can be free. God, you can set the captives free. And I pray that you would put that thirst in their hearts for the true and living God. And Father, I pray for those here this morning that want to do more for our nation, our people, to take a stand for righteousness in a culture that has gone so wrong, God. Lord, what wickedness we see before our eyes. And God, I'm ashamed sometimes we call it an American. So Lord, help our nation and help us as believers to stand strong for truth in this day we live in. And Father, I'm proud to be an American and I'm proud of our heritage. And Lord, I'm thankful for Jesus Christ and we're not ashamed of the gospel, God. So Lord, help us as believers to stand strong and true for thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.